from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, yeah. Good morning. Hello. Hello to you and to you and to you and James. Good morning.
Top of the morning to you, Kyle.
Top of the morning to you. Yeah, England was great, and I'm back. Happy to be back doing Sports Talk Radio again.
That's right. How were the fish and chips?
Fish and chips were phenomenal. The curry was phenomenal. The beer was up and down, but I found a few I liked. The sights were great. The sounds were amazing. Super walkable city. Had a great time with my wife and my in-laws. And, man, what a trip. Super happy to be home. My least favorite thing,
okay,
was that sports happened at like 3 a.m.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Waking up to, and it was just, I'd sit there at breakfast every day and just, all right, going through highlights from the night before and trying to read, and being a sports fan backwards is not a great time.
Yeah, it's almost like you have to reset your entire life.
Yeah.
And so you're awake in the morning at like 3 and not in the evening.
The way the schedule was set up is the Kings and Warriors both, I'm guessing a lot of teams based on how the schedule went, but on England time played 3 straight days.
Oh.
And then the A's had a point where they played twice in the same day.
What?
Yeah, because of the way the time difference is, it's an 8-hour time difference.
Of course.
So if they play at 7 p.m. one night, or 7:05 or whatever the first pitch is, that's 3:05 a.m. England time.
Okay.
And then if they play at, I guess that's Friday night, technically Saturday morning, but then play again Saturday afternoon Pacific time, it's like 9 p.m.
Oh, wow.
England time. So I'm looking at the NBA schedule, and I'm looking at all these teams playing 3 days in a row. I'm like, what is this? Why is this? And it's because of that. It's because of the 12:30 and 9:30 tips yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
That teams were technically playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's wild.
Really weird. Really, really weird. Didn't like it one bit. Happy to be back where, and naturally I come back for a 12:30 p.m. Kings tip off, which is great, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For me, you stay longer than I do. But for me, getting out of that building at like 3:30.
I got home by 5:30.
Yeah, yeah, which is usually about the time Mike Brown's finishing up his pregame presser.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That's Mike Brown finishes up right at 5:30.
Shout out to the 12:30 tip off.
Yeah.
I don't want to, obviously we have a ton of Kings to get into, but it's also a huge giveaway day for us. We're giving away 2 $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificates, 2 opportunities to enter to win a Kings jersey, which we will be giving away later in this week.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also going to be giving away a little money. We have money to give you.
Monies.
Multiple monies.
Monies. Like
500 monies.
500 monies.
Of all the monies, there's going to be 500 of them that
we have all the
monies
and we're giving it away to you.
Well, our boss has all the money and we said we're taking a bunch of that.
Okay.
And we're going to distribute it to listeners. So we're going to give you a keyword today. At some point, not now.
Not now.
Because the point of the keyword, right, is to get people to hang out and get people to wait around and listen for it. It'd be really funny at the top of the show, 4 minutes in.
You just like,
hey, the keyword is...
womp, womp, womp.
So we got keywords out the wazoo for you today, and we will make sure when we give a keyword to very clearly explain what it is.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun day of giving, and people should know that we're going to give a keyword for the $500 giveaway.
$500.
$500 giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give away a keyword here on our show, and then D-Lo and Casey are also going to give away a keyword.
Yes.
And so that gives you two opportunities to enter
right.
for one $500 giveaway today, and we're doing this all week long. And then next week, all week long.
Yes.
So we're giving away $5,000 total. $10,500 giveaways.
I hadn't even done that math yet. That's nutty.
$10,500 giveaways.
$5,000. But no, $500. So it's two opportunities to win.
Yep.
It's not two different giveaways. It's two opportunities to win. We'll be giving you a keyword. D-Lo and Casey will be giving you a keyword. And you will get a chance to win $500.
We should just confuse them completely.
Yeah. So,
but we are giving away two $100 gift certificates.
Perfect.
Which are two separate drawings.
Uh-huh.
Which you can put
separate
in for
keywords.
Both of those. Separate keywords.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to have three keywords, two different websites, all kinds of prizes. It's chaos, Kyle.
It's great.
Everything is up for grabs.
So stay locked in, whether you're listening on the radio or checking us out on ESPN 1320 TV, on Twitch and YouTube, or if you're listening on the free Odyssey app. Appreciate you. And we'll be doing this giveaway in a way that you don't have to be necessarily listening like spot on live, because that happens sometimes. If you're doing like a phone giveaway, people listening on an app or online are going to be a little bit behind. Not the case. It's a keyword. We'll be giving it to you a bunch. Once we decide to give it to you, we'll start giving it to you a bunch.
That's right. Look at Brian Kivett. Brian, you already want a PS5, man. So you're out here asking for us to give away $502 because you have specific bills?
That's ridiculous.
Come on, bro.
$500, fine. $502, that's nuts.
That's pushing the envelope,
Kyle. That's insane.
That's pushing the envelope.
That's totally insane.
It's wild.
Relax, Brian. No, okay, so I try really hard not to, because I genuinely, let's talk Kings now. I genuinely try to not complain about my job.
Okay.
Because I think there's nothing more off-putting than a person who does this for a living being like, oh, my job. Like, it's not work. It's work. We work hard at this.
Yes.
But it's hardly a job in the way that a lawyer or a doctor or a school teacher or a chef or a mail person or a construction worker, whatever you do, like, that is like, dude, that is a crime. This is. Like, it's just, so I try very hard because there's nothing worse than when a person sits there and you hear somebody like, oh, God, if somebody travels with the team, they're like, oh, the travel schedule. Like, okay, man. Like, I know it's probably tough, but you're not, come on.
But you know who I've never heard once ever complain about it? Gary Gerald.
Yeah, G-Man.
And he
doing it for the love of the game,
he
dude.
Just keeps going. Like,
dude,
he's
got
like
his favorite restaurants.
Every single
post them on
city.
Facebook.
People know him in every city.
He's the best.
Yeah.
The very best. But, so I was going to, I'm sitting there yesterday about halfway through the first quarter of the Blazers game. And I'm going, why am I here? I got back from the other side of the world at 10:30 p.m. last night and then went to sleep and got up early to get out to Sacramento to be at this basketball game where the Blazers had two players I recognized. Two players.
And you are cultured, Kyle, now. Like, I mean, you've been to England, man. You're cultured, Kyle.
Yeah,
you can't show up at a basketball game, game 82, like, is Kyle too good for this?
No. But so it wasn't because again, I don't want to. The privilege of being able to just go to basketball games whenever I want is amazing.
Yeah,
I will never complain about it. But as we're sitting there, and I'm going, not the Kings went out to win that game, obviously, and it very clearly, and you watched as that game progressed, they were just a better team and they were trying to win, whereas the Blazers had Taze Moore and
who they'd signed 4 minutes before, like
right before the game.
Yeah.
Baji?
Who's the Baji guy?
In closing my tabs, I need to stop doing that. I closed out my... Here we go. Okay. Chris Murray, heard of him. Ryan Rupert played 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Never heard of that player in my life.
He was a first round... I think a first round pick?
Sure.
Okay.
Justin Manaya, I've got nothing for you. No relation to Sean. Moses Brown, I've heard of him. We'll get to the fifth starter in a minute.
Moses Brown, you've heard of him because he's like a world-renowned like foul machine.
He's JaVale McGee in Andre Drummond's body. He has all the like, what are you doing? What is it? Huh? Of peak JaVale McGee?
Yeah.
Without half the athleticism that has made JaVale McGee a successful NBA player for 15 years or however long he's been in the league.
He definitely falls under the category. Jerry Reynolds always used to say this. Are you a tall guy who plays basketball or a basketball player who happens to be tall? He's definitely a tall guy who plays basketball.
He is a tall guy who plays basketball for sure.
It's like, he's got to play basketball. Yeah, he does. Because I don't, either that or he's like, you know, just wanders the earth putting stars on top of Christmas trees and changing light bulbs.
Ibu Baji.
Baji, yep.
Was the guy you were talking about. Never heard of him. Dwight Reith, Kings killer. Maybe an MVP candidate someday. He played 24 minutes. I've heard of it. And then this guy, Taze Moore, who played 30 minutes yesterday. It was his fourth NBA game ever, and he had played, I think, 10 minutes in those previous three games. He played 30 minutes yesterday. So again, you're sitting there going, what is this? What is this game?
Yes, who are they?
Why are we here?
Yes.
This is silly. I shouldn't be here. I've made a mistake. And then that fifth starter for the Blazers, our guy.
Yes.
Came up big time. We're going to talk about the Kings, but we have to talk about the disaster with the Trailblazers yesterday. Delano Banton. Our guy sets an NBA record for 3-point attempts in a game without a make. And it was electric watching this with you and with Sean Cunningham and just wanting this guy to chuck every time he went down the court. Because we're going, hey, we're on the verge of history here, boys. We got, and sure enough, our guy kept on chucking. 0 for 15 from beyond the arc. He went 6 of 26 from the field. And then, drum roll, thank you.
Yes.
And then, with a couple minutes left, gets ejected!
Gets ejected.
And that's why Delano Banton is our Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game for yesterday's Kings just romp. 121-82. The Kings finished the season 46-36. But Delano Banton is our Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game. Go to ESPN1320.com. The Jiffy Lube Fast Break giveaway page is right there at the front. You click on that. You're going to enter the keyword Banton. B-A-N-T-O-N. B-A-N-T-O-N. Banton is our Jiffy Lube Fast Break keyword for today. Enter to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and a Sacramento Kings jersey, which we will be giving away a little bit later on in this week. Shout out to Delano Banton. That was a ton of fun. That wound up being a lot of fun yesterday.
I mean, that's when you're watching a game like that, you're hoping for something silly to happen.
Yes.
And there's even a moment where they get a 24-second shot clock violation, yes, but just after the shot clock goes off, he releases and hits a three.
Cashed it.
Cashed it. That was the only one. And we're like, oh, come on now.
What was so funny, and Banton is a like interesting 6'9", 204. He's in his second season and actually has played, what was it, 29 minutes a game for the Blazers series, played in 30 games. Kind of like an interesting, but yeah. Yesterday was, he is 2 for 25 from three in his last two games.
Yeah, he's a big point guard. And
big boy.
Ryan Rupert was the 43rd pick in the 2003 NBA draft. So he's a second round pick. He was part of their draft haul
yeah
this year.
So just a weird game yesterday. So what we're going to do is we're going to skip six quick thoughts from yesterday's game because it wasn't – I didn't learn anything about the Kings yesterday. I don't feel any differently about them now than I did at 12:29 yesterday because the Blazers just didn't field a competitive basketball team. The good news is the Kings kicked the holy heck out of them and left no doubt.
No, that's true.
That was a good sign.
It's a good sign.
When I saw that what their roster looked like, it was like, boy, if we're sitting here 8-point game in the fourth quarter, we got problems.
Yeah, it would not be good. Good at all.
The Kings get win number 46. They hold on to the number 9 seed. Let's take a look at where they kind of sit now. Now that the regular season is over, was it a good season? Was it a bad season? We'll begin our look ahead to their play-in matchup against the Golden State Warriors. We'll take a look at the entire playoff slate and how things kind of shake out. Best case scenarios for the Kings, worst case scenarios for the Kings. That's what we're diving into all day today. So keep it locked in. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, we're back in. No, I'm not going to say what I had for breakfast in England. I'm not. I will tell you that there were... So look. Did I eat beans for breakfast a couple times? Yeah, sure. Sure, I did. Did I have Heinz beans for breakfast? Yes. Fine. Fine. Did I have hash browns? Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Bacon in England, very odd. It's more ham than bacon. I think it's technically Canadian bacon, but it's in England, so they just call it bacon.
Oh.
I loved it though. Very good. I'm a big ham guy.
They don't want to give the Canadians credit for their bacon.
Well, I'm guessing that it's just based on, you know, colonization and imperialism. My guess is that it's just English bacon. They just do it in Canada.
Oh,
that's my guess. Anyway, I don't know. But yeah, man, I didn't eat any cereal while I was in England. That was a question I got asked at the break. But we were talking about yesterday's Kings Blazers game, and the Kings, of course, punched their ticket for the 9 seed. They will host the Golden State Warriors at Golden One Center mañana. We will dive into that a little bit later today, but we will really dig into that matchup tomorrow. Today we're just kind of overview regular season and talk a little bit about yesterday's game. I appreciated so much. We're also giving away a ton of stuff today. I appreciated so much Sabonis shamelessly hunting a triple-double as his minutes were ticking down. Like, he understood that he was probably not going to play the fourth quarter of that game.
Oh yeah.
He had a limited amount of time left in the third quarter and just shamelessly hunted his triple-double. I love it. I respect it. I wish more players openly did that in games like that.
Yeah.
It can't be a close game where you're hunting, but why not? You're an assist away. You're standing there wide open from 18. You start, no, I'm going to look. No, it's not there. All right, fine. I'll take my shot.
You know what I loved about his game is that for whatever reason, he decided to start shooting from all over the place. Like, he hit a three, and then all of a sudden he hit a 18-footer. Then he hit one from the baseline. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is going on? Yeah. Like, if this is a player you're going to be, like, where has this been all season, Kyle?
Bro, I look, here's what I need to see. And this is one of the big takeaways from yesterday. So it's 7 of 10, Domas. He didn't hit a three. He hit a couple of long twos, though.
He hit a three in the previous game. He didn't hit a three yesterday?
No. 0 for 2.
Okay.
But it was the lack of hesitation on those. There was one, it was not quite a fadeaway, but it was on the move a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was great to see because where has this been all year?
Yeah.
He might have just kept shooting because he kept making them. I think that's a little bit what happens is he misses one and it's like, oh, well, nope, not going to shoot it anymore.
Yes.
But watch him in pregame. You sit there and watch him in pregame. And he's 16, 17, 18 feet, baseline, free throw line extended, the up, wherever. It's just cash. Like, dude, just and so I think there's something to the fact that he hit a couple. I think it's easier to shoot when you're up 30. But at the same time, if that builds his confidence, going into a game where the team's defensive game plan last year in the playoffs is like, yeah, you're not going to shoot it. Shoot that jumper 10 times. And dude, if he's going to knock down a few of them in a row and force Golden State to change what they're doing defensively, force any team they face moving forward into changing what they're going to have to do defensively, that's a big deal.
Well, specifically Golden State. Golden State is a team that they really need him to take that shot.
1,000%.
Right? Because they're sagging off of him. They're trying to clog the lane. They're trying to make life difficult on De'Aaron Fox. And if he's shooting that shot, if he's actually giving it an honest go and starts hitting him, first of all, it's going to take five before they defend you at all.
Yeah.
And let's say you hit three of the five. That's 60%. That's great, right?
Yep.
If you hit more, that's fine. But you have to space the floor. And Domas has to be the one that goes, okay, look, it's on me to space the floor tonight. It's not on just the shooters, because that's how Golden State plays them. And so it's going to be interesting.
Especially with no Malik Monk, especially with no Kevin Huerter.
Yeah.
Like, that just dramatically changes the way that you need to go about defending Sacramento, because the Warriors are going to give it to Keon Ellis.
Oh, no, they're
in terms of I'm sorry,
and Davion Mitchell. Yeah,
they're going to let Keon Ellis and Davion Mitchell shoot it. They're going to say, hey, if you guys combine to make 15 threes, then so be it.
So be it.
And that's going to make life. But you're absolutely right. That's going to be a major, major factor, I think, in tomorrow's game. And the fact that the last game of the year, we see Domas knock down what, four jumpers, I think he hit from 15 plus?
Something like that. Yeah.
That's a really, really good sign. He finishes the season a league leader in rebounds, second consecutive year.
13.7 per game.
Pretty good number. 26 triple-doubles, league lead.
Mm-hmm.
77 double-doubles, league lead.
Mm-hmm.
Also sounds like my in-and-out order. And what else?
I think he's seventh in assists, not sixth, but he's at 8.2 assists per game.
Mm-hmm.
He finishes, I believe it's seventh in the league in assists per game.
Man.
Like, remarkable season. He's the only one to put up 1,000 rebounds a season, and he goes over 1,100.
Jeez.
Yeah, like, his dominance this year, and, like, we're going to see how this plays out, whether he's All-NBA or not.
Mm.
I'm going to guess he's third-team All-NBA, and I'm actually going to guess that De'Aaron Fox is as well.
Do you think it helps or hurts that they're not doing positions?
I think it helps him. And it also, I'd also say, like, look, Anthony Davis missed a ton of games, but he'll still fit into the...
Anthony Davis, I'm telling you right now, Anthony Davis is going to finish above Domantas Sabonis in whatever All-NBA thing happens.
He didn't last year, but he probably will.
I think he's going to this year.
Yeah, I would agree with you, but the fact that Embiid is not on there...
that's a good point.
The fact that Donovan Mitchell is not on it helps De'Aaron Fox.
Did Cat get to 65?
I do not believe he did at all.
And he missed a ton of games at the end.
Anthony Davis...
62 for Cat.
Oh, so he does not register. Yeah. And then, of course, Anthony Davis plays 76. And what happens in the final game? He gets hurt.
Back and neck spasms, too.
Hip and back spasms.
Oh, hip and back.
Hip and back.
Oh, I thought I read neck and back.
No, I'm almost positive. Hip and back. And we'll see if he can go on Tuesday.
Hey, unrelated to any of this, speaking of just the Lakers, did you see LeBron's stat line yesterday?
I did not.
28, 11, and 17 with five steals.
17 assists.
17 assists. I mean, oh my God. That's the scary thing with the Lakers.
Well, I mean,
the fact that LeBron still has that kind of game in his bag. And a game where New Orleans was like trying. New Orleans needed to win.
They needed to win bad. And now they got to play him again. That's who their matchup is on Tuesday. And
that's the other thing that was really disheartening about yesterday. Was because that game early on, the Lakers were up big with the Pelicans kind of battling back and keeping it at arm's reach. And then at some point, the Lakers just poured it on and they went up 20. And so the intrigue of that was even out the window. Yesterday stunk from a
drama standpoint.
Yeah. I loved the idea. All the East teams tip off at 9:30 Pacific.
Yep.
All the West teams tip off at 12:30 Pacific. But there was just nothing... The most drama with yesterday was the Bucks getting hammered by the Magic. I'm out on the Bucks.
I know. You've been out on the Bucks for a while. You might have been ahead of the curve
on
the Bucks.
I'm way out on the Bucks.
Well, especially now.
Giannis has missed the last couple of games. He may not even be ready to go for the start of the playoffs.
Giannis is going to be out a while.
Against a Pacers team that they had trouble with all year.
Who scored, 157 yesterday?
The Hawks scored 115 points and lost by 40.
Oh.
That is nuts.
That's crazy.
That's so hard to do. The Pacers this year, their three highest scoring outputs were all over 150 points, and all of them came against the Hawks, who are in the play-in tournament.
Wow. Here's a crazy stat. This is, again, LeBron James is 39 years old. 39 years old, 109 days, I think, is the exact total. In his, 21st season, he shot a career-best 41% from three. On five attempts per game. Like, what are you supposed to do if he's going to shoot like that?
He doesn't have the legs to get downhill constantly anymore? Oh, okay, fine. He's going to cash 41% of his threes. How many a game did he take?
5.1. that's just stunning. I mean, he's a career 34.8% shooter from three.
Ridiculous.
And here he is, setting a new standard for who he is at age 39.
Totally outrageous. Totally, totally outrageous.
And we're talking about a guy who averaged 25.7 points, 8.3 assists, 7.3 rebounds, 1.3 steals per game at 39.
39 years old.
It's wild.
I just don't. The other thing that happened yesterday was the Knicks by beating the Bulls. And with Milwaukee losing, the Knicks jumped up to the number two seed. Milwaukee falls back to the three.
Mm.
So that was I don't think that was the drama the league was hoping for. The Thunder beat the Mavs by 50. The Nuggets rolled in their game. And Minnesota laid down and got walloped by the Suns. It just wasn't much fun.
Kyle,
we gotta go. We gotta go. We'll continue talking NBA playoffs next right here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile, and on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, long-time longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I learned a lot in England. I learned why a football field is called a gridiron. Because it looks like a gridiron.
Panini pressed her.
I'm not going to repeat why I learned what a gridiron is.
That's wild.
If you would like to learn about that, Google the Christian martyr Saint Faith from the 5th century. Dude, I was walking through buildings. I'm a history dork, right? And walking into buildings that were built in the 11th century is bananas.
Yeah.
It's super weird. And then walking past...
I told you. You go to a bakery. Everything is older than anything you've ever seen in your entire life.
Yeah, man. Crazy.
You go into some bathroom and you're like, this bathroom is 1,000 years old.
The first pub we went to... Yeah, dude. The first pub we went to was rebuilt in 1677.
Oh, wow.
That's what I'm not a tall person. I had to duck under doorways in this pub.
Oh wow.
Me, a not tall person, would have been a giant back then. It's incredible. But anyways,
Kyle is now regretting.
Because there's another
17th century Kyle.
Dude, 17th century Kyle would have hit his head on a lot of doorways. But yeah, dude, when you're in a place where you walk past a church and it's like, this church was constructed in 1714, you're like, that's some new stuff. Yeah. That's new.
Rookie.
Get me to the 13th century. There's just, at Westminster Abbey, there are people who have been buried there since the 13th century, since the 1200s.
Wow.
Like, my wife got really into the Tudor family period with King Henry VIII and his 6 wives, da da da. Okay. And she got super into that. That's like the mid-16th century. And some of the show on Showtime takes place in Westminster Abbey. And it's like, Westminster Abbey was old then, in the 1500s. Mind-blowing.
It's amazing how they maintain some of this stuff. Even like Notre Dame in France. And you know, the roof caught fire.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been under reconstruction for the last, like, I don't know, 5 years or something. Incredible. Before that, I don't know what they're going to do to sort of put it all back together, but you know, they have like structural stability issues all over because of the heat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so I don't know how they're going to do it, but incredible beforehand, you know, before the fire.
Yeah. It's just everything's so old there.
Wild. It is so old. Yes.
You know what else is kind of old is these Warriors-Kings matchups.
true that.
The good news is, and I want to continue your thought on the play-in tournament and the playoffs and stuff, but I will say the good news is, as we dive further into Kings Warriors tomorrow, at least the teams are different now.
Yeah.
And it's not what did they played by the time they last played at the start of this season. Or at some point early in the season, they had played of their last 20 games, like 12 of them had been against each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So they finished last season with a game, like the second to the last game of the season.
Right.
Then they had a 7-game series, so that was 8. Then they had 2 preseason games, so that was 9 and 10.
Yeah.
Then they had 3 games in the first 10 games. So that's like 12 times.
It was so boring. And
they're not the same teams that they were then.
It is so dramatically different. So I am excited to dive into the differences, but we got some other stuff to get to today.
First. Okay.
I think I know the answer, but Mike Brown talked about this a little bit yesterday, and I thought his perspective was interesting. The question for me is like, was this a good or bad regular season? Because you had Domantas Sabonis improving even from where he was last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of your stars. You would like to see that player continue to get better and hone their game and improve. And you kind of saw that this year. De'Aaron Fox, kind of a weird couple of lulls this season, but still No doubt that he is this 1A player that we kind of thought he was. And then, you know, some ups, some downs, a couple games worse than last year. And to me, it was like, well, this regular season was definitely bad. It was not a successful regular season. But then Mike Brown talks about how, hey, anytime you have an opportunity to play in the playoffs, like, that's a great opportunity and da-da-da-da. He's the coach.
Yeah.
And what he thinks and what the players think, that's ultimately what matters. I just couldn't disagree more with him that you can sit here and go, hey, 9 seed, chance to play for a chance to play for a playoff spot. Yeah. I don't know. I did not agree that just because they make the play-in that this was a
well, good okay. Year. So here's how I would, like, if I'm Mike Brown, like, perspective here. You had a season where no one got hurt last year. And mm-hmm. and the guys that did get hurt were able to play through injury. Like, whether that's because they were incredibly tough or because the injuries were something that allowed them to play through it.
Mm-hmm.
But you basically had an entire season where, you know, most of your top 8 guys played 70-something games. Mm-hmm. And a couple of them played even more than that. You get to this season and you have Harrison Barnes and Domantas Sabonis play all 82. De'Aaron Fox plays 74. Keegan Murray plays 77. Malik Monk plays 72. But then and Kevin Huerter 64. But the problem that you have this season is the Trey Lyles injury early in the season cost you 13 straight games. Trey Lyles has another injury, another portion of the season, which costs him more games. You have the Kevin Huerter injury that really, you know, again, ends his season way early. And then you have the Malik Monk injury, mm-hmm. which cuts the wind out of your sails completely.
That was tough.
So I know we all, like, on the outside, we've been, like, on top of this team all season long because they're not progressing. They're not doing something bigger, better than we thought that they would do. Well, they finished 2 games less than they did last year, and their games missed due to injury is, like, fivefold.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so many more games lost due to injury sure. this year than last year. And I'd even say, like, look, if you would have somehow made it through the last part of the season with even Malik Monk, mm-hmm. I don't think you lose, like, 5 out of your last 6 or whatever it is.
Yeah, he was worth at least 2 wins down the stretch.
Yeah, you probably win. Like, so let's just say they pick up 2 more wins and they end up with the same exact win total, but that's just one player's injury totals taken out mm-hmm. and not everybody else's. So mm-hmm. you're still looking at a season that they're a lot more injured. They never found the continuity that they found the year before. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a incredibly successful season, but I also look at this like I got to be honest, like it's not a Mike Brown does have a point. Like anytime you're able to play after 82 games,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a play-in or not, you are still playing. You are still in it. Mm-hmm. And if somehow they got healthy, like they're not going to get healthy with Kevin Huerter, but if somehow mm-hmm. they got Malik Monk back, I think they're a dangerous team in the first round.
Sure.
Like, I think against OKC?
Sure.
Okay, bring it on. You're 2-2 against a team, and the last time you played them was last week without Malik Monk, and you got killed on a horrific call late mm-hmm. in the game mm-hmm. that cost you a chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, look, I think they can hang with OKC, but you got to get there, and that's going to be the tough thing.
My pushback to that is I think this season was more normal. I feel like last season, the lack of injury stuff was, what's the word I'm looking for?
An anomaly. Yeah.
Thank you. An anomaly.
Yeah.
And that's where this season would worry me a little bit. Because, yeah, this is kind of what happens. And if you're reliant on, hey, basically injury free.
Yep.
For an entire season to get to 48 wins, which would have gotten you the 8 seed this year. So you'd be on the road in the 7-8 game if they had won 48. That would be concerning to me. The fact that in a year where, yeah, you know what, they had some injury stuff, but it was De'Aaron Fox early in the year, but then he came back. And I know he dealt with a shoulder thing too,
yep.
where he kind of played through it. And he had Domas for 82. And you had Keegan Murray for
77. Yeah, Harrison Barnes all 82.
Yeah, that's that would be the concern for me. And again, maybe we're looking at this a lot differently if they have Malik Monk down the stretch, because I don't think they lose the Dallas game where he got hurt.
Yep.
I don't think they lose that game against Phoenix. And maybe we're sitting here at 48 and we're just like, oh yeah, hey, you know, lateral move, but now they can get. But that to me would be the bigger issue.
Yeah.
With that.
And I know people want to point at, you know, this loss or that loss. And we talked about it the whole season long. The problem that you have is, you know, if they don't lose this game or they don't lose that game, look at how close they are to being a six seed.
Mm-hmm.
What is the six seed? 48 games?
49 and 33 for
yeah. Minutes. And that's why those things matter. It's why you can't take your foot off the gas the entire season. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, look, I'll just keep saying this. The team that starts your playoff run, right? However many years this is going to be, like, we can count this not as a playoff run, but as a postseason run at this point, right? They've made the postseason. They're getting a game after the season, hence the word postseason.
It's the post-dash season.
Yes.
It's not the postseason, capital P.
Yeah.
It's the post-hyphen season.
Okay, we can call it whatever we want. I don't consider semantics. The play-in a playoff game. You didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah. Not in the traditional sense. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No. But it is a postseason game.
No doubt.
So the way that I look at this, though, is that the team they have today and the team they had last year, whatever team it is that takes the next step is not going to look like this. Like, we've already seen that you can rework this roster and have it look different, and you can mm-hmm. change things. And we can even talk about, like, the way that they started this season, where, again, they had some clunkiness to their offense, but their defense wasn't good still. Mm-hmm. And then the way that it ends up, where their defense takes this gigantic leap towards mm-hmm. the end of the season, and they're actually playing much better defensively when a lot of teams are playing worse.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved all the way up to, what, number 14 in the NBA. And
that is the, like, number one. I think if you ask Mike Brown, even if they lose on Tuesday, and you talk to Mike Brown, where he's going to tell you the whole truth, like, hey, how does it? I'm certain he would circle that and go, this is what matters.
This is what matters. Because if you're going to take a logical step and become a better team, it has to be on the defensive end.
That's it.
And if you don't do it, you're just going to keep being this fun game, this fun team that gets bounced in the first or second round.
That's it.
And in all honesty, like, look, they're going to make changes. Like, I've brought this up before. Like, the 1998-99 Kings to mm-hmm. the year 2001. I mean, you have to remember, there is no Jason Williams on that team.
Mm-hmm.
Corliss Williamson was traded for Doug Christie.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, like, teams evolve, they morph as they start to understand what pieces will get them to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this team, like, they tried the run it back thing, and that was logical. Like, it was. Like, I don't love that they 100% ran it back, but if you're this good offensively and you have a defensive-minded coach and you think he can make some defensive changes,
mm-hmm.
which he did. He mm-hmm. did implement mm-hmm. and did help you change.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, your offense wasn't as good mm-hmm. as it was the previous year. Other teams made adjustments to you. This team, they should have made some sort of move at the trade deadline to not just to make a move, to make the team better.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't. And
yeah.
So, like, you can't say, we're going to run it back, realize for 40 games that running back is the wrong decision, that it's not working out like you'd hoped, mm-hmm. and keep thinking, well, maybe, just maybe, after the deadline, they're going to look better.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not the way it works.
No, not at all.
And so they didn't make the move, and it becomes stagnant.
Yeah.
And then you have some injuries hit.
Yeah.
And that's why you are where you are. I mean, this team easily could be 4 games better than they are. And I don't think it's even difficult. We can talk about, like, if Colby Jones to tip in at the end of the Celtics game, there's yeah. one game. And whether you should have won that game or not, that doesn't matter. You were right
sure.
there, and
yeah,
he
yeah.
gets fouled, yeah. right? And then we keep going through all of these games where it's either a two-minute report or a game that you just flat out shouldn't have lost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this team easily could have been a 50-win sure. team. I don't even think it's, like, questionable.
Mm-hmm.
They win 46, so, I mean, it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just going to be these little moves that you have to do here and there, or maybe a big move. I don't know what it's going to be, but this won't be the same team that we see come back next season.
No, if there's something that Mike Brown always talks about, the opportunity from losing. And he, you know, is very clear. I want to win every game. If I had my choice, we would go 82-0 and 16-0 in the playoffs, and that's how it would go.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality of sports is you're going to lose, and you're going to be defined long term about how you react to losing, not how you react to winning, and how you grow from losing and what you learn from losing. And that goes down to individual players. That goes down to you know, team wide stuff like buying into the defense. And buying in on the defensive end and what they want to do there. But I think that this goes for the front office and the coaching staff as well, in terms of, like you said, running it back was, is it boring? Does it give you not a lot to talk about in the offseason? Like, yeah, sure. Everybody wants to win the offseason.
Yep.
But, man, they won 48. It was year one. You had to give that group an opportunity with a couple of tweaks. You know, you tried Chris Duarte. You tried a JaVale McGee. And it didn't work out like you hoped. Okay, that's fine. But this is the point now where, regardless of, and the reason we're talking about this is because it to me, it's regardless of what happens on Tuesday, and then hopefully of what happens on Friday, and then hopefully of what happens in the first round of the playoffs. But no matter what transpires there, you now know, hey, this is what works here. This is what doesn't. This is the type of player that helps this Domantas Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox core. This is the type of player who helps it. This is the type who doesn't. Like, this is, there's a very clear to me, and I think to you, and I think to most Kings fans listening to this, there's a just very clear adjustment that needs to be made to the roster and the body type and the player type and the athletic profile or whatever this team needs. That to me is very, very clear now. Their path forward is very, very not unobstructed, but it is clear.
It's simple. Like, yes. you can see what it is. And I want to pull out something that someone says in the chat. Michael, I don't know who Michael is. Mike Brown is a very media-friendly coach, so naturally guys like James are going to lean towards defending his position, but he's a very flawed coach, and McNair did nothing these past two off seasons. Okay, so here's what my response would be to this. Sacramento Kings have been in Sacramento for 39 seasons. Of those 39 seasons, they have 8 with they have 10 with a winning record.
Mm-hmm.
8 of those came under one head coach, which was Rick Adelman.
Mm-hmm.
2 have come under Mike Brown. Mike Brown, whatever people want to, like, he's a tremendously flawed coach. No. He's a guy who just took a loser franchise.
Mm-hmm.
A franchise that had lost 16 consecutive years without making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
One of the worst jobs in the NBA. Mm-hmm. I joke around about it. It's a 2-for-1 franchise. You know what that means, Kyle?
What's that?
You get paid for 4 seasons, but you only have to coach 2. It's like, sure, you know, when you go out to buy a bag of chips during the week of the Super Bowl and you buy 2 bags of chips and you get 2 more?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Sacramento Kings job is. Historically,
I'm doing that every time. By the way,
you're buying all the chips.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be just for Super Bowl. I love me some tortilla chips. They're buy 2 get 2 free. I'm in there. Sorry, keep going.
My point is, like, look, people who say, "Oh, Mike Brown, like, this was just a bad coaching." Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
He has a whole bunch of offensive players.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at how a guy like Keon Ellis has changed the entire complexity of their team in the final half of the season. Forced into action, who was an undrafted player 2 seasons ago and got converted from a 2-way contract 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Look how much one player can change the complexity of the team. That's what you've been waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
It's just players like this that can actually hold their own defensively for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't had them.
It's been very clear from the jump, too, that that's what Mike Brown has wanted to do. And that's why I think that you have to have some grace with, like you said, the roster is not full of these defensive dogs. Like, it's just not. Keegan Murray has taken leaps there. De'Aaron is a very good defender. You just mentioned Keon Ellis. They drafted Davion Mitchell to try and help out in that respect. But he hasn't been there until recently. He hadn't been there enough offensively to reliably play him, you know, 20, 25 minutes a night. But to me, I have a hard time right now looking at the coaching staff, Mike Brown or otherwise, and going, this is the reason they're 46-36 instead of at 50 wins. You can bemoan, rotations early in the season, and maybe Chris Duarte should have played more or less, or maybe Kessler Edwards should have played more or less, or maybe Keon should have been in earlier in the season. Whatever it is, I mean, was it a perfect season from everybody top to bottom? Like, no, not at all. But I don't come away from this looking at the Kings roster and going, boy, this is the coach's fault.
No.
And that's why, I mean, if it gets there, if they vastly improve the roster and next season it's just a lot of the same problems, then yeah, you know, you kind of start to go, okay, what's the common denominator here? But I think coach blaming a lot of the time is overblown in any sport.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like with Kyle Shanahan. Like, I'm not, they've been to two Super Bowls and four NFC title games in the last 5 years. Like, that's pretty good. You can have some gripes with you know, game management and this and that, but overall, big picture, like, you're in a pretty good spot. And that's kind of right now, that today, that's where I sit with Mike Brown.
Yeah. And I mean, look, the guy has a 600 win percentage as a head coach. And you can say it's because he coached LeBron James. And I would respond, okay. And he also coached the Sacramento Kings.
Mm-hmm.
There's one coach who's won in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the best win percentage outside of that is Luke Walton is the second highest win percentage in the history of the Kings since they moved to Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, oh, well, you traded for an All-NBA center. Okay. I'm old enough to remember when DeMarcus Cousins was on the Sacramento Kings,
mm-hmm.
and he's flanked by Rudy Gay and Isaiah Thomas, and you still don't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He's flanked by Isaiah Thomas and Rudy Gay and a bunch of veterans. They still don't make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like I'm just pulling things out of my hat here.
Mm-hmm.
This is a coach who took a team that had just been defunct mm-hmm. for 16 years, and whether he's a great coach or not, I don't know. But what I can tell you is he's a much better coach than anyone else who's been here outside mm-hmm. of Rick Adelman. And the proof is in the pudding. He actually won, whether it's a down Western Conference year or not. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this year's Western Conference. This year's Western Conference is a bloodbath.
Mm-hmm.
And he has his team in, like, could they have finished six? Yeah, they could have finished six.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of inches here. So
yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you for the most part on that. I don't look at this roster and go, wow, they are just not getting enough out of it. That to me is it just kind of is what it is, and the fact that they jumped up to 14th in defensive rating for the year, and they fell down in offensive rating a little bit, but offense is way easier to come by than defense, and if you are improving on the defensive end year over year, while still having an opportunity to make the playoffs, I think you're still in a pretty good spot moving forward. But again, next year, if they win 40 games, okay, let's have a conversation. Next year, if we're looking at in the offseason, we're looking at the roster and they make all these improvements and a trade here and a trade there and a signing here and a signing there, we're going, hey, this is the team.
And then they regress? Okay.
Right. Then let's, but that to me, I get the frustration. And I get, because like I said, I did radio in San Francisco when the Niners are going to the Super Bowl and people wanted to fire the head coach after a Super Bowl. It's just not, I'm sorry, I can't get there.
Yeah.
Not logically anyway. You could be hot take guy. You go, you know what? Somebody needs to be held accountable. They won fewer games this year than they did last year. Mike Brown's got to go. Jay Triano's got... Monty McNair on the hot seat starting now. Like, yeah, you can do that. That's insane. I'm sorry.
It's fan reactionary stuff. And to me, it's very clear, like, look, this guy's a better head coach than any of us.
Dude, all of us. No, but that's fine.
It is what it is.
It's not even fan reactionary stuff though, because that's me, dude. Like, I'm there. I will knee jerk reaction and overreact and do this and that. But I can't. I will do that. But I can't get there with this.
No.
My
opinion, very, very quickly, is when a coach loses the locker room, it's time to go.
Mm-hmm. They got nothing but buy-in.
He has not lost the locker room.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
All right. We'll continue this Kings discussion on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.